CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, hip-hop, rap artist, however you want to call him, extraordinaire, Mario Farrow, better known on the internet and on your inner hearts, hopefully, as Sky Blue.
Hey, what's up?
It's been a while. I can't remember when we last talked. I take it back. I think the last time we talked was the last time you were in Austin. You were with...
Oh, that's right.
With Mega Ran and IQ. And I think... I forgot who the DJ was on that tour. I forgot the guy's name off the top of my head. I feel terrible. But that was like the last time you guys were even on any kind of mic. And since... And that was... I can't even remember how far back that was. But since then, you have been... on a tear in terms of making stuff.
Hey man, it's been working.
Well, I should probably lead into why I say that. So for those who are kind of new to the Sky Blue world and sort of new to any sort of music in terms of direction, recently Sky Blue released an album called The Cowardly Boy. It's actually titled Sky Blue, The Cowardly Boy, which is an interesting title of that. I can't remember when exact. I know it came out earlier this year, but I can't remember exactly the date. You probably know it better than I do, Mario. What month, at least?
Cowardly Boy.
Yeah, like the album. Probably the album. Was it September?
I dropped it in August 29th, which is my birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, I remember.
Total surprise.
That's right. It was your birthday, and that's how I got hip to it because you know, you dropped it. I was following you there, and of course. You know, friend of the show, Mega Ran tweeted it out and sort of promoted it as well. And it became kind of the thing to focus on. And so I was like, okay, let me give it a listen. Let me finally listen to this new thing. You're not expecting anything new to come out. Not because I wasn't certain you were working. It's just, you know, you tend to hear things like, yeah, I'm working a new album. And this sort of thing came out. And I hear it the first time. And this is something rare that happens with an album. Typically, when I listen to an album, I will gravitate towards one song. It won't necessarily be the first song. It may not be the second one. It could be the third one, but I'll tend to gravitate towards one and replay that a few times, and then it kind of goes to the rest of the album. That's just the nature of how I listen to music. I didn't do that for this album because every song that came up was way more compelling than the next. And everything seemed to drag me in, you know, further and further, you know, from the first track down to the last one, like every it's such a damn dense album, and how did you approach writing this one? Because it's such a, you know, if you listen to it, there's a lot of really personal themes to there.
Yeah, it is.
So I mean, like, how did you approach sort of creating all this? Like, how did you approach writing? Like the song, especially this one, being, because again, we talked, you know, there's a lot of, I say dense in a very, very great term, because there's so many of those things that are there. Like there's these overarching things of individuality, but there's a lot of like personal stuff. So how did you, like, when you came to making this album, what was the sort of your approach on this? Did you come from sort of, you know, drawing from your life experience this time go around, or was there like a certain song you started off with first that kind of led into you making the album?
Well, it's just kind of one of those things where I plan my stuff far in advance, you know, and I've been knew I was going to do this album like way back. I knew I was going to do it because if you know my other album, you know, I had Sky Blues on Modern Life, you know, and that was mainly themed off of Hey Arnold and stuff. And then I had Race for Your Life, Sky Blue, and that was, you know, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown. So then there's Sky Blue's Sky Blue, Cowardly Boy, and, you know, Courage, Cowardly Dog. And it's kind of the thing where, you know, I do, you know, base everything off of, you know, what I've been through, and, or, you know, I create a full new story. You know, I like telling stories and stuff, so I create my own universe. I create a story that I want to, I want to convey to the people, but I want to do it in a way where it's very creative and unorthodox, you know. And for this album, I really stepped out, you know, but I kind of made it very personal as well, you know, of stuff I've been suppressing in the past and stuff. So it seems like it's based around me, but it's also a deeper theme. Like, this album is something you got to really listen to. And later I'm going to explain that more, but it's one of those where you really got to pay close attention to every single detail in it, you know, the way I word things and the way I name certain songs, you know. It's one of those things. It's definitely based on, you know, things I've been through and based on the past and the present, you know, and what I'm trying to do in the future as well, you know.
Yeah, it shows a lot, you know, because there are certain, like again, listening to the album, you know, and every artist I assume sort of approaches this way, and maybe this speaks more to you in general, but there's certain overarching themes for sure in the album, at least that I picked up, and obviously I'm not the creator, you're the creator, so you know whether or not I intended to get things, but like one of the overarching themes that I really dug a lot of the album was sort of the idea of being the individual. Because like a lot of the songs in the album, you know, from The Great Fusilli, obviously The Wearmole, like kind of the opening song. Talk about the idea of following trends. And, you know, we talk about hip hop, and that's a very, very constant in hip hop. You know, the idea of if you don't do this one thing, if you don't approach it this way, if you don't have, you know, if you think about like the 90s hip hop, if you don't have the bling and the tattoos and a whole bunch of, you know, jewelry in your grill, as they said. You wouldn't be with it, you know, whereas, you know, and how, you know, how do you view then the current state of hip hop, especially as a guy that really is almost the antithesis at times of what hip hop is? At least mainstream.
I look at it like creating, you know, people like following the trends, and not only in hip hop, but, you know, like in general, you know, the world, It's like a lot of people nowadays don't know how to be themselves, you know, because they're just too busy following what other people are doing or what's popular and stuff like that. And so far as like hip hop, you know, hip hop was created on originality. They was going against the norm of what the other type of genres of music was doing. They created something brand new. So the people that came to the table and, you know, became wordsmiths and DJs and producers and everything were doing things that's out of the norm. They technically wasn't following trends. They was setting trends. So it's like nowadays with music, now people don't know how to set trends no more. They just want to follow what everybody else is doing. Every sound sounds the same, you know. And I just want to do something that just, you know, it's almost like I'm not even trying to do it like that, you know. It's just over years, you know, I created my sound and it just happens to be different, you know. But I don't just, you know, I don't try to force it, you know. It's different and it's not, you know, following the masses, but it's something that's just organic, you know. I just let it flow, you know, but and it just so happens to not be like anything else out, you know. And, you know, I have the album I was talking about that just like, you know, just learn to be yourselves and don't follow what the masses are doing, because the, you know, that could lead you to destruction. You know, these people don't know who they are anymore, you know, let alone you following them. We just got a mass of brainwashed people just marching down the line. They all look the same. It's just like, it's, you know, like something out of an old sci-fi movie or something.
Well, yeah, because like there was a good cycle, and I think we're sadly still in that weird cycle of every, you know, in terms of audio wise, everything being auto-tuned, everything having this, and, you know, everyone trying to. Yeah. I mean, even in gaming, you know, there's a lot of those sort of trends, and you're absolutely right. There's a lot of in media people sort of finding the one thing that worked, not quite understanding why it worked, but saying, well, I can do that exact same thing, and if I do that exact same thing, I'll be famous too. And I think that's what I liked about this album so much was that, you know, from the first track to the last one, there was that overarching theme. It wasn't just like, oh, one track talked about this. No, it was one, it was two, it was three. It was like kind of this woven thread throughout the album of sort of being that. Because even like you get to like, you know, the Sky Blue meets Bigfoot. And even there's like a lot of those sort of feelings to it. It was like that one constant thing I kept interpreting, even, you know, throughout all the songs, was this this message of being you, whatever that happens to be. You know, and it was something that I definitely appreciate. I think that's might be probably the reason why I tended to like it as much as I did, because I've always appreciated the other kind of weird trend. I say weird as sort of a, you know, link word, really. But it's interesting how your album was, you know, we keep talking about the antithesis of hip hop, and not to say that there, that's you are like the inverse of it. But, you know, a lot of hip hop tends to, you know, talk about a lot of negative themes, and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, there's, you know, life, everyone has different life experiences. I'm not going to judge any other artist. You know, if it works for you, by all means, continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But what I liked about this album was it was very positive. Like it never, it's not to say it didn't talk about things that were real. It did for sure talk about things that were real when it came to it, but it never came from this pessimistic view. You know,
Can
you talk a little bit about sort of your approach on sort of bringing positivity into the world of hip hop?
It's like when I started realizing that my music was helping people, you know, it really helped shape, you know, almost like my trail that I'm on now, you know, when I was still trying to figure out myself as an artist and what I wanted to do and stuff, you know, I just knew I like rapping and I want to do something different, you know, but, when I started, as I really pursued it and my music was touching people and I was talking about things I experienced, you know, foster care, homelessness and all that, you know, and there's people that actually connected with it and it helped them. I was like, oh man, then I have to, okay, this is what I have to do. This is what I want to do and stuff. And, it got to a point where I just knew every song I do, it's just like, it comes to me now, like, okay, this song is going to be about this. And I'm going to say this and do this and that, you know. And but it's like a lot of times positivity is shunned, you know, especially now, you know, it seems like everybody's thriving off hate right now. So,
yeah,
you know, when you got somebody coming out that's trying to, like, you know, promote positivity, a lot of times it gets overlooked or just like, you know, whatever. I ain't got time for that.
It comes off as, and this is where I think, you know, that you tend to approach it. But people always think that if you're too positive, that you're coming off as fake. That you're coming off as this, yeah, like, oh, you're why are you happy? There's nothing to be happy about the world. The world is this blob, yeah, of gray, where there's, I still think that that's beautiful in its own right. And it, uh-huh, probably is why I like the album as much as I do, because, you know, the world has never really, you know, there's a line I remembered from, it's a weird line from the movie Zootopia, but one of the characters says the world's always been broken. And you know, it needs kind of good people. Actually, it says good cops, but, you know, good people. And I kind of interpret that way. And
great movie, by the way.
Yeah, oh, amazing movie. We could talk hours on Zootopia alone. Mm-hmm. Probably one of my favorite, animated film this year.
Mine too. It came out at a good time. It was more than just a movie. It has some themes that you really pay attention to.
Oh, God.
It was very relevant.
Oh, yes. Very, yeah, very, very much so. One of my,
yeah,
there are a few movies I will watch randomly every so often in terms of just to get a quote, just hear a line. And that's in my rotation of, you know what, let me put Zootopia on the background and I'll, you know, catch a scene. Cause, yeah, I've seen, I saw it twice in theaters, saw it three times. Amazing movie. And, you know, I've talked, yeah, about it in the past, but it's those sort of things that when I listen to the album that I got, you know, the idea of here's a guy kind of coming into hip hop. You know, and we, you know, we talk about the world being this, you know, thriving on negativity, and that being the promoting thing. But here's a guy coming in, not just simply like, oh, I'm singing positively, which is cool and great. But here's a guy who's talented and singing about positivity. And you know, you listen to each track and the rhymes are tight and the beats are amazing and everything's kind of just lining up. And you know, if you listen really, really closely, you start catching like, oh, he's trying to say something in a good way, in a like, oh, he's not just like, oh, he's just like kind of ramming, but no, he's actually laying down some knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I try to do. You know, I base my music off my, you know, experiences in life that I've been through, you know, and like I said, it helps others, you know, and the whole thing I try to, you know, I'm positive, but the way that my positivity is like, I'm not trying to force it. It's just like, I'm just giving you my view on things. And if you don't, you know, if you don't understand it or if you don't agree, that's fine. But there's people out there that need to hear this. You know, there's people that's going through some real crazy stuff right now and just depression or whatever it is that don't need to hear nothing negative. They need to hear somebody tell them it's going to be all right. Somebody that actually ain't just preaching it, actually went through it and went through the worst type of things and overcame that, you know, so I was like, I got to be that medium. Like, that's cool. There's a lot of dudes that just rap, you know, there's a lot of dudes that do what they do and stuff. But it ain't a lot of people that do what I do. So it ain't like I'm oversaturating it, or if you, you know, if you don't like it, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Just move on from it. But there's people that it really helps, you know, and that's what it is. And I'm not trying to force it down your throat, like every song and like positive, positive, positive. It may just make you feel positive, but you don't hear me constantly saying I'm positive, I'm positive, I'm positive, I'm this, that, you know, it just kind of comes off, you know, as it makes you feel good. You know, that's the type of music I want to make, you know, even though this album is a little darker in as far as the content, yeah, as far as overall theme, it's still positive. And, you know, so it's like I know the balance, you know. Well, it's definitely one of my dark albums.
Well, because I think ultimately, and this is, you know, the beauty part, I think, of the human sort of condition, you know, we all, you know, not everyone is you know, a giant positive ball of rainbows. You know, we all have our dark sides. We all have our dark times. That's sort of what makes us us. And, you know, it's not so much of us, encountering darkness. It's how do we go beyond that? How do we approach that? How do we take the darkness and sort of figure, you know, find that light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. Because there's there's some of those themes for sure. Like in and I kind of picked some songs I do want to sort of talk and discuss and break down off the album. Again, the whole album's amazing. If you have not listened to it yet, go listen to it. Like, you know, pause if your list is recorded. Pause right now. Go listen to the album. Come back, and then we'll then you can join the discussion. Be a part of this whole thing as well. But you listen to something like and I picked some of the songs that I feel have those sort of that split, that dichotomy of positive and I'd say negative, but just sort of the, you know, the dark, you know, because again, everyone has dark. There's just, you know, everyone's gray, and that's not a bad thing. But like even something like The Great Fusilli, which I think might be my favorite song off the album, because I kept trying to think, like, what's my favorite song? I think that might be one of them. It's hard for me to pick a favorite one now, because it's like, no, I think it's this one. No, I think it's that one. But what I liked about that song was, you know, it has a whole individuality thread to it. But even at one point you start talking about, I think it's the second verse, sort of the, living in a certain period, a certain, you know, era as sort of talking about your favorite things. But prior to that, you start talking about, I think it's like every day we would die. I start talking about certain hip hop things and sort of getting into that, you know, your life experience in that regard. Should I talk about that really quick?
Mainly. You want me to talk about the whole song or just the second verse?
We can break down the whole song, because I think that one, you know, and again, I know it's not the lead track and who, you know, you never know what your lead one is, but I think that one out of all of the tracks itself, might, like, to me, that feels like the one that if I were to give to friends of mine who are into hip hop, who are into this sort of genre, who are even not, but are into it, that feels like a really one of the tracks I would give out. Like, I'd say, if you've not heard Sky Blue, here, check out this track. And if you don't like it after this, then it's totally not your thing.
Think about Great Fusilli is, that's actually one of my favorites on the album too. And I knew when I was thinking of the concepts and picking out what songs from the show from Curtis Cowley Dog I was going to do, I knew. Matter of fact, Great Fusilli in advance was already one I knew I had to touch up on, but I knew it was had to be at the right time. And I feel like it was very relevant to right now. So yeah. I was like, oh, it's time to do it. And Great Fusilli is actually the first song I worked on for the album.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Well, I picked the right one then.
It's exclusive. That's the first song I worked on for the album, and that was going to set the tone for the rest of the album. And I built it around that, you know. And because, like I said, you know, if you familiar with Courage the Cowardly Dog, you know that episode was one of the most like, what, you know, like, oh my god, see, he had the room. The alligator had the room, and the people were hanging up there, and they were alive. They were just puppets, though. They were dolls. And this is a kid's cartoon. You're like, what? You know, like, rewatching it as a kid, you already knew something was off about it. But then you get older, you're like, what? This is... And then the way it ended, with Courage, the Great Fusilli turned Eustace and Muriel into puppets, and Courage took them back to the house, and he just reenacted their day-to-day. This is you looking at a dog that lost his mind because his owners are dead. as owners of puppets, you know, this is crazy, you know. So I looked at, I was like, oh my God, you know. So I was like, hey, I kind of think a lot of people are puppets these days, you know. Like back when we were saying what the masses are doing, they're following the norm and the trends and everything. It's just like puppets on a string. The Grateful Silly tells you to dance and you do it. You know, go and buy these $1,000 shoes. Of course, go do it. You know, go feed into this hate and negativity. Go do it. You know, it's just at the snap of a hand, you know, your control. You do whatever they tell you to do. You do whatever, you know, the powers that be want you to do. And it's just like, I was like, huh, I need to tackle that right there. This is, let me talk about who the Grateful Silly is, you know, because it all stems from something. There's someone pulling the strings, you know, and I kind of had went in that direction. And also I went on the second verse. I was talking about a little more about what I've been through and friends that I lost, you know, they lost their lives or they're in jail and stuff growing up in Alabama. Now, we ain't have nobody to teach us these things. And, you know, we ain't had nobody talking about who the Grateful Silly is and stuff. It was too late for them. The Grateful Silly already got them. They're products of their environment. So they went down the wrong path because they didn't have nobody to lead them astray, you know. So I kind of went in depth with that. And I started to get upset as the verse progressed, you know, when I was talking about any day we can die.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the hands that guys, you know, any day we could die from the Grateful Silly or any day we could die from the police because they're killing us, you know. For nothing. So a lot of times, you know, you may think it's about something else. They may make it seem like it's this person did this or that. But then you look at the footage, you're like, I don't see that. And it's just like, that's why I dropped the video. The video shows, you know, the video, it's a very artistic video if you've seen it. And shout out to Joe Turpin in South Africa. He's an artist that painted it and animated it. But it's emphasis on the TV for a reason, you know, because I feel like a lot of that is coming from the TV because the TV is pumping this 24/7, pumping these things and pumping hate, negativity. You're getting these shows that's just full of like ratchetness and all kind of crazy stuff, you know. So, like, you know, TV can be a tool of the Grateful Silly as well. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can get, you know, trapped in that, them strings put on you. But I was like, ain't no strings on me. I know what's up, and I'm not going to let this happen, you know.
But I think, a lot of the sort of that thematic comes from the idea that, and it's always been a common phrase, that life's a stage, you know, that life is nothing more, and we're all just kind of waiting for our last curtain call.
Exactly. And we're kind of going through the motions. We stick it to the norm. We stick it to the script of our day to day. We just go through the same motions over and over. A lot of people don't try to do different things. They're just stuck in this way of thinking. They're just like, oh, maybe stick it to the script. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to do nothing. I'm not going to chase my dreams. I'm just going to work 9 to 5, 24/7, and do this.
Yeah,
you know?
Fall, stay on the path, stay the course, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's sort of what spoke to me hearing that was just like this song kind of approaching the idea of like, well, this is kind of, you know, this is not how I approach life, but this is how a lot of people have sort of thought that. And that's why I think I gravitated enough. Maybe that's that, you know, hearing you talk, that was the first song in the album you worked on, really explains why there's this thread of individuality to it, because that one is a very strong kind of starter for that. If that sort of is your nexus for this album, you know, your the sort, mm-hmm. of, sort of the sun, everything else orbits around it. That totally answers a lot of these questions just of why there's this continuous theme through that. You know,
exactly. You know, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just about to say about the Grateful Silly as well. As you know, the episode of Courage Cali Dawn, the Grateful Silly came. He set up the stage and everything. So I was just like, Grateful Silly has put this stage on us. This is the stage that's placed out in front of us, and you can choose to be a part of it, or you can choose, you know, to cut those strings off and blaze your own path, set your own stage. You know, you ain't gotta, you know, go with the norm. You ain't gotta just like follow what everybody else is doing, because somebody is bound to have them strings cut, you know, whether it's in a good way or a bad way. And, you know, that's kind of like the underlying theme of that as well. And just, you know, stick it to the script. The world is a stage, you know, what you're going to do. Everybody want to be a star these days, don't they? You know, nobody just want to just like live their lives the way they supposed to live, everybody, the way you feel like living it. You feel like if you're not following what they're doing, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
And that's like overlaying theme in some of the songs as well. That theme comes back up, you know, that people are scared to be themselves. Grateful Silly told them, you can't be yourself. You have to do what everybody else is doing. You got to look like this person. If you don't look like this celebrity right here on Instagram, you know, with the, you know, modified body and stuff, you're wrong. You know, you're irrelevant, you know.
Well, it's not even so much that. It's the idea of, like, if you don't do a certain thing, like a lot of, you know, I approach, you know, the world from a, you know, internet media perspective, just because that's kind of who I am and sort of where I am. But there's even trends in that of the idea of, like, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, and, you know, if you look at someone like PewDiePie, who got big and famous and, you know, in his own regard, figured it out and good job on him. But there's a lot of people who are trying to copy it and sort of be the same way, because they think, well, if I just be like that, if I just produce the exact same thing, if I just follow this template, I will be that famous and I'll be that, not quite realizing what it is that got those people where they are, you know. And that's what I, again, really enjoyed about the song, was it sort of, you know, laid out that there really isn't so much, you know, there's certain things that you could like, and it's cool if you like it, you know, if you like, you know, $1,000 shoes, if you like, you know, buying all these things and acquiring, you know, your Lamborghinis and or even striving for that idea. If you like, you know, your 20 inch, whatever it is you like, by all means, keep liking it. Don't, you know, like you said, you didn't force it. But
yeah,
I'm not my sure. favorite things. I always like that sort of take.
Yeah, exactly. The way I'm doing it, I'm not trying to force you to not. If you want to buy nice things, feel free to do it. Even if you listen closer to the chorus, I said that's a few of my favorite things as well. I was like, maybe sometimes I want to live a life of a king sometimes, but sure. You know, don't make it to the point where if you're not living that life, or you're not living like these people are, you know, celebrities and everything, that you're inadequate. You know, a lot of people feel that way, and a lot of these celebrities make people feel that way, that, you know, if you're not like me, then you're irrelevant. Especially rappers, they're like, you know, they flash it with money on Instagram. They got money as a telephone and stuff, which is pretty stupid. You know, you can't talk to nobody with a money phone. But, you know, hey, you know, more power
to
you.
There's a lot of ridiculous stuff that happened in hip hop, both now and in the past. Like, I always remember the I go to this, but I think it's that was at No Limit Studios. I forget who did Still Fly. I forget the artist, and I remember the music video for one of those.
Six Mafia.
Yeah, I think so. Whatever it was. But, like, the video, I think it was at a dentist office, and he's like, I got 10K in here now, and I'm trying to fit another whatever. And it's just, like, some guy, like, basically putting, you know, I always found that. You know,
you're talking about Big Time.
Big Time, thank you. Yeah. You know, I always found that, like, again, props to you. If you, that is your style of, like, of putting gold literally in your teeth and jewels. Yeah, I am not going to judge you. But I always felt that was the most ridiculous thing you could do, because, like how would you taste food? Like, how would food taste just coming through a gold metal filter?
I don't know, man. I know some. I'm from the South, so I know, you know, like, the grill culture and stuff is heavy down there still. And I had a grill one time, but it was a temporary grill, so it's like you can take it out and in before you eat and at night and stuff like that. But some of them dudes don't. It's permanent, or whatever, they go and get it taken out. So I'm just like, how you brush your teeth, bro? I don't know, but, you know.
No, hey. And then that's, you know, but I always found that, and again, it's, you know, you approach it as, you know, granted, I grew up in Michigan, so I grew up in the suburbs and that kind of thing, so, you know, outside looking in kind of thing, but I always felt like, that has got to be the, like, there is surgery, and then there's, like, I was like, that's a level of commitment that I'm just not quite comfortable giving. I wouldn't even get a tattoo at this point, let alone replace all of my teeth with all these, like, and again, this is not me judging. This is not me saying, like, don't do it. If that's what makes you happy, by all means. And I think that's what sort of the point of the song is. If that makes you happy, cool. If that's something that pushes you to do something, or if that's how you show that you've been successful, fine. By all means, go for it. That's just not how I approach life. And that's that. You know, hearing you talk that was the beginning really does explain a lot of the other songs.
Exactly. Appreciate that, man. Because I feel like a lot of people be overlooking the content of the songs, you know, or the albums. They get caught up in, like, oh, it's such a good song, or this is that and that. But, you know, I really put a lot of depth into these songs and these albums, and, like, mystery as well. You know, there's a lot of things that people still ain't figured out, from older stuff that I'm trying to, like, get you to do, you know. And, you know, I like being mysterious, man, and I want people to really dig deep and listen to this album, you know.
Well, because, like, another song I do want to kind of chime in on that I also really did enjoy, and I would love to hear you talk about it more only because it might be, and if it's too personal, by all means, you know, don't talk about it. But one of the other songs I really enjoyed was The Shadow of Mario. And sort of talking a little bit about your past and you know how that chimes into music. Only because, like, not to say that all the other songs don't have any kind of past into it. Of course they do. You know, things like I think you know, you mentioned in your Sky Blue Meets Bigfoot. You know, sort of your approach on hip hop and rap and stuff like that. But I felt for some reason the title of that alone. Was very, I mean, obviously all titles are purposeful, but this one felt like, okay, he's trying to say something about him or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go into a little bit just to, cause I'm trying to, because it's, again, I keep saying this, I said at the beginning, it's a very dense album, and it's such a, when I say dense, I mean, it's like, how do you approach talking about this album? Because it's like, okay, well, every track could have an out, I know, a, you know, we just blew 30 minutes, you know, talking about one single track on this album. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way, in that, you know, all these things could be their own, like, nexus of that. And it's just like, we've, you know, every track we could approach that way. And so I'm trying to, you know, pick those ones that I'm like, this is, again, something I could show a friend of mine and sort of certain things like, okay, well, you like that track. Cool. Check out this one next. And if still you're still in this mix, you're still liking this guy, then cool. You know, we can keep going forward. And, you know, I think that's also a really good one. Because, again, I know in the end of listening to music, I tend to gravitate to the more personal, to the more, you know, internal, just because that's
I definitely got a little more personal with this album.
Yeah. So and because I'm it's hard for me to approach this, but I say that in a positive way. But yeah, Shadow of Mario, I would love to hear you kind of, you know, talk about sort of the creation of that and how that approach, just because, again, it's the title alone makes me think that there is something more to that song than just simply that song. If that makes any sense.
That's one of the deeper songs on the album, because a lot of people see, you know, me, and, you know, they know I'm a happy guy and they'll see a smile. But a lot of times when I'm smiling too, it's like, I'm hiding the pain. I may have been going through something that day or something. You just don't know it, you know, but I try to be strong for others that need me to be strong, because they're feeding off my energy and positivity, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of stuff, this is stuff I've been suppressing, you know, so I just kind of came out with that song of Sell You, you know. A lot of people didn't know I was cutting myself on a wrist. A lot of people didn't know that it was hard for me to, like, keep a relationship because I was hurt about stuff in the past and stuff. So that's kind of like, you know, the shadow, you know, being almost like, you know, you see what you see on the outside, but you don't know my past. Well, I kind of tell you the past, but, you know, maybe the past still follows me, so the shadow, you know, and I'm telling you, you know, some of the stuff that I've witnessed and I've been through, and, you know, things that I just kind of just put to the side, but now I need to let it out. If I'm, you know, it's got to be therapy for me as well. If I'm gonna help somebody else, I gotta sit and take time to help myself as well, which is that what portion of this album was. It was getting time to just sit there and just help myself, you know, in a way that I know how to do it. And it's just going over the things and seeing, you know, how to get over it and how I overcame it, which I have, you know. So, but just sometimes you just got to sit back and just, like, look back and, you know, just overlook how far you came and stuff. And I just had to air it out and let people know, this is what I did. This is what I was thinking. This is, you know, from homelessness and stuff, thinking why my parents didn't want me. I thought about all these things, you know, and a lot of people didn't know I did. You know, a lot of people just, like, he stays positive at least, you know, but they don't realize that I still be haunted by those things, you know? So that was The Shadow of Mario, just letting you know the things that I, because on a, you know, episode of Curse, you know, the episode, he was scared of the shadow. You know, the shadow was trying to scare him. It took form. And that's what I'm saying. The shadow took form and it's trying to, like, scare me. It's trying to bring up the stuff in the past. But, you know, in order to defeat it, you know, I had to, like, confront it. And that's what I did in that song. It was a confrontation.
Yeah, because it's you're absolutely right bringing the whole theme, because I didn't, you know, because I knew about your homelessness. I knew about that was, you know, in our previous interview and things like that. But I had no idea of, like, oh, he cut himself at one point. Damn. Okay, well, this has gotten really, really serious. But it makes sense for you to call it The Shadow, because not just in the idea of the Courage of the Cowardly Dog kind of thematic of him being literally scared of his own shadow, but just the idea that that's, you know, cast behind you, that that's, you know, still there. And depending on how the light's, you know, glaring, you know, either A is mm-hmm. is larger or scarier than it is. If you think of, you know, as a kid, or even now, the idea of like you know shadows that you can make a lot scarier than the actual object truly is. And sometimes mm-hmm. by depending on where the light's you know glaring at you, and this is both literally and thematically, it can be this overarching sort of you know force. And if you sometimes you know succumb to it, that can be a you know can totally screw you up. I can totally see that being the case for that album, that song. Then,
yeah,
you know, and, exactly. and it's and it's good that you approach that you kind of come out with that in the idea of therapy. Like you mentioned that at the very beginning of this whole thing, that a lot of your music touches people, and that you know that it does, and it comes out. And is this force to kind of help them through something, whatever that something is, just because either A, you've gone through yourself, or B, it's just something that they're working through and it, you seem to help out, which is always great. But what I, you know, it's, and it's good to hear you say that even you can kind of hit that, those points in time. Because I think it's important mm-hmm. for sometimes people to have their, to know that they're not alone, you know?
Exactly.
But let's move on to one last song. Cause we're almost at the hour mark. We still got some, plenty of time and stuff like that. But I kind of want to talk about probably one of the more interesting ones, just because of not just simply of the lyrics and stuff like that. But you know, I mentioned at the very beginning of this whole conversation that you know it's tight rhymes, but it's also amazing beats, which is you know always the best combination of having someone that's a lyricist that knows what they're talking about, and then having a producer that knows how to make the appropriate beat for that artist. And I think a lot of that, for me at least, the song that shows a lot of that is Sky Blue Meets Bigfoot. I'm curious. Was it your take or was it your producer's take to sample Aretha Franklin? If you don't mind me asking.
Oh, they sampled it.
Okay.
It just, when I heard it, it fit.
Yeah. Cause Aretha Franklin. And for those who are curious, the song samples Aretha Franklin's One Step Ahead. It's kind of a, mm-hmm. you know, in my research, kind of a rare Aretha Franklin song I'd never heard. I was like, wow, this is beautiful. But what I liked about the song, you know, is it kind of talks about your trials and tribulations of being an artist and how, you know, it sometimes life, especially when it comes to doing music, feels like you take one step forward. You know, you get this like big hit or whatever. You get sort of, you know, accreditation, and then something happens that knocks you back. Whether it be a negative review, something happens, you know, a bad show or whatever, and it feels like you're taking, you know, this, you know, as you're slowly approaching, you're being pushed back by something. Can you talk a little bit about sort of your feelings on how you kind of approach it? And the only reason I bring it up is just because that song itself feels, at least to me, the listener, that's your how music and you kind of interact and how you approach sort of the craft of it and the idea of like I said, taking, you know, one step forward, two steps back, and even having the chorus, the hook, if you will, the Aretha Franklin lyrics being, you know, one step ahead of misery, ahead of heartbreak, and how, you know, that works out with the song, which is why I think I like that one a lot.
The song is just like, every time, you know, I'm progressing with music and everybody's saying, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're getting somewhere. But it's just like, it seems like every time I make one step in the right direction, it's like this barrier and it just blocks me. And I take two steps back. It's just like, man, why I can't get over this hump? Like, why? And it's just like, when people seen that song on the album, that, you know, they already know my concepts and stuff are going to be creative. So they're just like, oh my God, how did he flip the Bigfoot concept? Like, seriously, how did you do that? And then when they hear the song, they're like, wow, that's creative, you know? You flip that concept into an actual real concept, a theme that a lot of people can relate to, you know, because you feel like you're making progress, but then you get pushed back. So you have to keep going again, only to take two steps back. So it's just like you do one good thing, but two things bad happen. And just like the status you've seen recently, like I'm doing good with this album, but then I got a guy harassing me. Like this stuff always happens. I'm like, why? Like, what is the problem? You know? So it's just like, I'm just saying in that song, you know, maybe I've set myself up, you know, maybe when I make the choice to make the type of music that I make, I set myself up for this type of situation. Like I set myself up to possibly hit failure or have people harassing me and slandering me and not appreciating what I do and stuff, you know? So it's like, maybe I'm trying to fill these shoes that's too big for me to fill, you know? Like, I set myself up for this. I made this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to make this type of music and stuff, knowing the kind of, you know, arena that I'm going into and knowing what I'm fighting against. And it's just like, it almost like I set myself up for failure. So that's what I'm saying myself. Like, you know, when people go in and try to look for Bigfoot and stuff like that, a lot of times they don't get nothing. So it's like, you just kind of just set yourself up for failure. So it's just like, I'm setting myself up for something, but it's like, I kind of, at the end, I kind of like, nah, no, I did this. I'm going to fill these shoes. I don't care how long it takes.
Well, because a lot of that is, especially hip hop, you know, we keep talking about this overarching theme, and I keep bringing up that, you know, Sky Blue here is the antithesis of hip hop. I don't mean in any sort of style. Obviously, he is a hip hop, and obviously his music is would find a very comfortable place on any, you know, radio station that would play hip hop. You know, none of the songs feel out of place in that regard. But a lot of, you know, hip hop tends to, you know, breed that culture. You know, I was thinking about this as I listened to the album, of just like, if we think about sort of the birth of rap, a lot of it came from the rap battle. You know, that's always this confrontation between people, which again, usually it's friendly and everything else like that. But you go to a rap battle and, you know, if you were to hear the lyrics kind of set out of context, you know, out of context of that battle, they can sound pretty bad. I mean, you know, if you think of them historically of the nature of hip hop and sort of the nature of how it became big, you know, I was thinking about this recently because Too Mellow released a sort of mashup between him and some, you know, Notorious B.I.G. songs. And it got me thinking about the whole, you know, Biggie and Tupac kind of era and how that was a big antithesis of hip hop, sort of the big hip hop story of that time, and how that was part of the culture. The idea of, you know, our crew is better than your crew. Our rhymes are better than yours. We do X, Y, or Z better than you do X, Y, or Z. Hearing, you know, Sky Blue meets Bigfoot kind of got me thinking like, wait, that's, you know, it's very strange that this is part of this, you know, music culture that, like you mentioned in the beginning, sort of birthed out of the, you know, trying to go against rock and pop. And here we are now sort of fighting amongst each other, you know, and it kind of got me thinking of that sort of thing. And it's very cool that's how that song kind of came out from that. Was there any trouble kind of approaching that theme for that song, or was there anything that didn't quite work out, or just that was because again
that was like I said, I pre-planned these things, and I knew when I thought about doing it, I knew exactly how I was going to do it, and I was like, oh, this is going to work. I just knew it was going to work, you know.
So let's close on this one thing, because we're almost out of time here. And I got to ask, especially out of the album, you mentioned one of your favorite songs, of course, was The Great Facility. We've talked about a lot of the songs I've enjoyed. But what is one song on the album that you enjoyed either making or after creating that song that, like, it was either A, the hardest song to make because of thematics or rhymes or whatever? I'm curious, out of all the songs, and again, it's not to say the entire album's not a gem. It is a gem, and it's well worth a listen. But even artists have certain songs that they love the most on the album. I'm curious, beyond The Great Fusilli, what's, if you were to say this is the song that represents Sky Blue off this album, which is it for you? I've given you the biggest question to answer.
That's dope. I want some good questions. I would have to say Revenge of the Chicken from Outer Space, because that's like my triumph. That's me overcoming all that and a lot of stuff in the past and stuff. It represents my transformation. Like, from here on out, you know, my albums are going to be, you know, a lot of people love my old stuff as well, but like the bar I set on this album, I'm going to have to keep raising that and surpass that. So that song, people never heard me come off as I came off in that song. Like, you know, my charisma in that song, you heard like the passion and the anger in my voice, because I'm tired of being overlooked. I'm tired of these things, and this is my revenge. So Revenge of the Chicken about a space, like, you know, usually when I'm recording, I'm just like chill and, you know, doing my thing. But that song, like, I had about a jacket and stuff. I took my jacket off. My book bag was off. I was moving. I was just going in. Like, I was like up Like, I was like, I was like pointing at the mic when I was doing the song. I was like, this is my revenge. I'm tired of this. You know, this is me. You're going to recognize who I am. You know, I've been humble all this time and I'm going to continue to do that. But you can't keep denying somebody who's making really good music, man.
No, you like, can't.
My music stands out and you can't keep denying that. But that's why I was like, this is my revenge. I'm tired of you overlooking me. I'm tired of being underrated. No more of that. You can't deny it no more.
Well, it's funny that you end the album that way, because you begin the album with like, well, I guess I'll stay underground then, you know, in Night of the Weremole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of like begin sort of the idea of, and maybe this is purposeful and probably it is, that you begin sort of talking
about. You see it progressing to that. Like, I start off real slow, like, I guess I'll just stay here. And then as you see me tackle different issues and, you know, Serpent of Evil River, I get that battle and everything. So I've like, I climb that tower and everything, so I'm like reaching a new altitude and becoming the person that I'm meant to become. You know, I can't be keep being this naive kid that just, you know, just letting people like throw him under the bus and like just thinking the whole world's for him. And that, you know, I got to realize that everybody don't want you to win. Everybody don't want to see you succeed and stuff. So it's just me becoming a brave man, you know.
Yeah, that's it's interesting to hear you say that, because that's absolutely the theme kind of get from it too, that, you know, here's an, you know, and again, when I met you, you know, years ago, when I'd asked Mega Ran, like, you know, who should I interview next? Who should I talk to? If there's anyone you think of, and he's like, did you check out Sky Blue? See what he's doing. Okay, cool. Let me hear stuff. Like, wow, this is amazing. And then I hear your whole story and everything else. I go, wow, this is even more amazing. And then this album comes out and I listen to it. And like I said, at the beginning of this whole album, this whole interview, it's one of the few albums I've heard straight through the first time, and then heard straight through the second time, and then eventually started gravitating towards songs, but I didn't really quite figure out my full take on it. Not because it was anywhere near bad, it was amazing, but it was just, I couldn't figure out how it is I, as you know, listener, approach this. And, you know, half the reason I'm talking to you about this is just because it's possibly one of my favorite hip-hop albums this year. I have to really think about it, but it's definitely my top 10 this year, because they're, you know, over this course of the time, I've learned I'm more into hip hop than I thought it was. And hearing this album, there's like, wow, this is really tight. Wow, this flow is amazing. Holy crap, this beat's great. But wow, there's something saying here. There's a lot going on. And I know I'm like singing, you know, spewing praises and being like the weird, like, why is he, you know, most, you know, why isn't he being critical and that kind of stuff? Because usually, you know, we talked about it earlier, the negativity. A lot of people feel that if you're too positive, you're not being too critical. You're not, you know, if you don't be negative, that means you're not, if you're negative, that means you're being critical. It means you're tearing into him and telling him what's for, when it's like, no, that's not what I do. And listening to this album and everything else, it showed A, you as a very talented hip hop guy, which you are, but that even with that, you still had something to say. And again, like you may, we talked about this, the idea that people who are really talented, but they still don't have much to say, which is totally fine. You know, nothing wrong with that. But it's rare to find those two things meet. The idea of somebody that is very talented at hip hop and has something real, real to say, whatever that motion is, you know, whether it be positivity, whether it be sort of his own life experience. But sort of, you know, I enjoy the fact that for this album, that thematic is be you, whatever that happens to be. And it's something that I think shows a lot in not just how you present yourself. You know, I've seen you perform live and it's amazing. But how you approach yourself in this album and how that sort of thematic goes. And even at the end, you mentioned, you know, that the Revenge of Chicken from Outer Space is sort of your, you know, coming out and sort of being revengeful. But even then, in that regard, you're still, I say humble in that, you know, you're talented and, you know, people should respect that. And I, you know, I know you're talented and I respect that, but you don't come out. I think the thing I like about it is you don't come out saying, you know, like, yo man, I'm the best ever was, you know, like a very typical thing in hip hop. You know, I understand that you're talented and respect that, but you know, I like that the album sort of has that progression to there, but it still doesn't change who you are. That makes any sense.
Thank you, man. Just try to be myself, man.
Well, we're out of time, Mario. We've hit the entire hour mark here. As always, thank you so much for being on the show. If people want to actually get their hands on the album, they haven't done so already in between now and the end of this interview, where can people go to catch not only A, your future stuff, but B, this album right now?
You can go to skyblue1.bandcamp.com. That's SKYBLEW, then just one.bandcamp.com. Or you can just go to facebook.com/skyblue music. That's SKYBLEW, then music. And it's like the pinned post up there. You'll see it up there. Or you can go to megaramusic.com and you'll see it on there with other albums and stuff. So, you can get it on there, and I hope you enjoy it, man. It's looking like my biggest album. I enjoy coming back again. You know, you show a lot of love, and I got to like break down some more stuff, so that's really cool, man. Appreciate that.
Well, you're always welcome on this show. You're a friend of the show, in my opinion. And in if ever there's anything like, hey, I want to talk about this, come on. You of all people are always welcome. I have certain people that I tend to approach. And I'm always glad to have them back on. But yeah, you can also get on for those if those music choices don't satisfy your need, and for some reason you're just like, those are the best places to go. But even as a secondary, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's pretty much everywhere at this point. And it's, if you haven't listened to it, haven't purchased it, go purchase it, go listen to it, then purchase it. Whatever way you tend to consume music, because it's a very, very, very dense album, and I mean that in. It's got a lot going on.
Thank you. I put my heart in this album for sure.
Yeah, no, and it shows. It completely shows that you put a lot of you and a lot of thought into the album. Because and you know, it doesn't go unheard, at least from my point of view. So I listen to it and like, okay, he's, like I said before, he's saying something, and that's rare in this world of hip hop. You know, there's only so many artists that I know are trying to say something. You know, a lot of time, you know, and it's becoming rarer and rarer. And I've started to notice there are certain people that tend to do that better. And you're definitely one of them for sure. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitter. So you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website, Patreon. cosplayer.tv/8bitlife. Got ahead of myself there. You can also follow us on Twitter at 8bitlife podcast. And after you've bought all the Sky Blue albums and bought this latest one, listened to it 8 times, realized you had you know, a nickel and a half in your pocket, head to patreon.com/8bitlife. You'll find help the show become bigger, better, more awesomer, and of course other kind of things like the free show that you don't hear on the recorded, the publicly released version. So that's it for today. Too, next time, talk to the geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.